This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. An absolutely beautiful recent high school graduate, Pam, vanishes from her Houston apartment. What? Vanishes into thin air? This after odd texts. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
20-year-old Shapamela Buckner, known as Pam by her friends, is living in Houston, Texas with her boyfriend when she suddenly disappears. Neighbors report a heated altercation the night she goes missing.
Where is this gorgeous young girl, Pam Buckner, joining me in All-Star Panel? But first, I want to go out to two very special guests joining us, Monica Rivas and Billy Rivas, cousin and uncle to this beautiful young girl that seemingly vanishes from her own apartment. I'm not buying that. Okay. There are no magic tricks. She didn't just disappear into thin air. First of all, to both of you, thank you for being with us. Miss Monica Rivas, let me ask you this. What is meant by odd texts? Tell me about texts that seemed to come from Pam.
She was texting her neighbor about something that was going on in her home and to call the police.
And then after that, what happened? Miss Rivas.
She vanished.
Guys, joining us in All-Star Panel, this is a beautiful young girl that grew up with a very tight-knit family. And they want answers. And do you blame them? What happened? Listen.
Do you guys believe that they harmed Shapamela?
I do.
But all the conclusion that we can come up with at this point.
Shapamela Buckner, 20, grows up in Houston. Shapamela is very much in love with her boyfriend, with whom she shares an apartment on Northboro Drive. However, with Shapamela's boyfriend serving in the military, stationed outside of Houston, Shapamela is frequently home alone.
After reports of a disturbance the night before, Shapamela's landlord stops by to check on her, and the landlord finds Shapamela's door unlocked, so she calls Shapamela's emergency contact. Family finds her phone, purse, ID, and keys still inside. It's very strange for Shapamela to go anywhere without those items. When several days have passed with no contact, she's reported missing, last seen at home the evening of March 21st.
Where is this beautiful girl? A little of that you just heard was from our friends at Fox 26. In addition to Pam's cousin and uncle joining us, an all-star panel. First, I want to go out to longtime friend and colleague Andy Kahn, director of victim services in this jurisdiction. He works with Crime Stoppers in Houston. Andy, there's a lot that stinks about this case, and I'm not sure why we are hearing, let me just say, rumblings that police are not being transparent. Another question I have is, you know how I found this case, Andy? I happened to be scrolling through Twitter for stories, for ideas, for cases that have not been covered yet that need some attention, and I found this. Why is it not on the front page of the New York Times? Because none of this makes sense. It's not like she was a magician or a magician's assistant, that somebody could just wave a wand and she disappears from her own apartment. What's the deal, Andy Kahn?
I agree with you, because when I tried to find out information, particularly on media coverage of Pam going missing, there was very little stories out there. There was absolutely no follow-up, the initial stories of her going missing, with the exception of a special report by local Fox News, who does a segment called Missing in Houston. So I was just like you. I was kind of puzzled as to why the media hasn't followed up on this. But at the same time, let me tell you what Crime Stoppers can do and will do for this family. We have a very unique program at Crime Stoppers dealing with missing adults. If a missing adult goes missing and it's presumed to be as a result of criminal conduct, we are ready to offer an up to a $5,000 reward for any information leading up to the arrest of the suspect and or suspects responsible for committing any criminal conduct. So that's a key thing right now. So if anyone out there knows what happened to her, reach out to Crime Stoppers. There's three ways you can do it. Call us at 713-222-TIPS. Submit a tip online, www.crime-stoppers.org. We have a mobile app available in over 20 languages. And remember,
let me understand, Andy. You're saying that under certain circumstances, which I believe fit this case to a T, Crime Stoppers correct. Will offer a $5,000 reward. That's just a yes, no.
That's yes.
Joining me now, Crime Stories investigative reporter Sydney Sumner. Sydney, describe for me the area where Pamela seemingly disappeared.
Nancy, this is Houston, Texas. This is a bustling, huge city, one of the biggest cities in Texas. And this apartment is in a busy area of town. It's frequented. It's a nice place to be settled at 20 years old.
It looks like I'm seeing her out by her pool, likely at her apartment. Guys, it matters. It matters. Joining me, Brian Fitzgibbons, Director Operations USPA Nationwide Security, who leads a team of specially trained investigators specializing in locating missing people at USPASecurity.com. Brian, she did not just disappear. The significance of what Sydney Sumner just said is that we're not out like where I grew up in rural Bibb County, where there's nothing but pine trees and soybean fields as far as the eye can see. That really decreases your suspect pool. Monica and Billy Rivas joining us tonight both agree she would never just pick up and leave. And let me go ahead and tell you right now, I have ruled out the boyfriend. Hold on, Brian. I want to nail that down. Mr. Rivas, isn't it true the boyfriend was stationed elsewhere, not far from Houston, but he absolutely was on base the night that Pamela disappears?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This is why I'm saying that. Let me go to Dr. Angie Arnold first, Brian. Dr. Angela Arnold is a renowned medical doctor, psychiatrist, who specializes in the treatment of women, just voted My Buckhead's best psychiatric practice of 2022, 23, and 24, going on 25. Dr. Angie, the reason I'm asking about the fiance is that that's where we start every investigation. For statistical reasons, I'm not just pulling it out of thin air. Explain why I was first focused on him.
Statistically, Nancy, these types of crimes are crimes of passion. So that is why we look at the person that is closest to the victim.
She's right. Brian Fitzgibbons, back to you, joining us from USPA Nationwide Security. You have to look at boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, lover, part-time boyfriend, all men or women in your life, because statistically, that's the perp. Not true in this case. Now, my original question to you is, I don't like what Monica and Billy Rivas are saying, that there is no publicity of this case, that they're not getting answers from Houston PD. No offense, Houston PD, but they're not getting answers. It's impossible that she was in her apartment or sitting by the pool or whatever at that apartment, and then she just dematerializes into thin air. That did not happen. And the Rivas are telling me she wouldn't just leave. She would not just leave. She's never done that. Did you see that graduation photo of hers? She's wearing a gold banner around her neck for a reason and a gold tassel. She's an honor grad. That's what that means. You don't get that from laying out of work or laying out of school. She was responsible. She didn't just take off and not tell her family, Brian.
Exactly. This is a beautiful young woman. And let's talk about the circumstances of this case that make it so particularly disturbing. Bullet point number one, we just talked about. We can exclude her boyfriend as a suspect because we know that he was on base, on the military base at the time of her disappearance. Bullet point number two, she left her personal items, including her cell phone, wallet, keys, and things of that nature. And then the last point is that the police response time to this was significantly delayed. So we lost crucial evidence, crucial eyewitness interviews in the first hours.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm the first one, even though I'm from law enforcement, I'm the first one, Andy Kahn, that if the police botched it, I would say so. You know why? Because you have to deal with that in order to solve the case or prosecute the case. It's just a reality. When that happens, there's no sense in hiding it. I don't think their response time was delayed. I think that her being reported missing was delayed through the fault of no one, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it from two angles. I know Texas EquiSearch, which I serve as a board member, they actually had a command station set up on a search and hopefully a rescue back then. And I know they went looking for her. They didn't find anything. But ever since 2017, there just seems to be a lack of interest or a concerted effort or anything updates. There's been absolutely zero reports on any of this. So, you know, I was just kind of stunned, really, that there hadn't been much attention brought to this case. Like you said, there's a beautiful young girl just vanishes into thin air. And this is actually the first real focus that's going to be put on hopefully finding Pam. And if not, you know, we've got a reward out there.
$5,000 reward. Andy Kahn, Crime Stoppers in Houston. Thanks for stepping up. You know, I'm just trying to understand. Brian Fitzgibbons, when you say there was a delay in the police response, what were you talking about? Were you talking about the delay in reporting her missing? Or is there some other delay I'm not aware of?
So this was reported by the family. There was a disturbance in the apartment that was loud and concerning enough that led Pam's neighbor to send her a text and ask if she's okay. Okay. Pam immediately replied with her last known communication of saying, no, call the police. According to the family, and I know they're here with us and they can confirm that, the police arrived a significant time later after that first call was made by the neighbor.
Oh, whoa. Look at your screen. Look, Brian, look at the photo right there. Look at Shapamela right there. Look at that little face. Look at that beautiful smile. I mean, Monica, I can hardly stand to look at it and think that this girl, that was just a few years before she went missing, this recent high school grad, Pamela Buckner, seemingly disappears, vanishes from her own apartment. Yet no one's talking about it. Seemingly nobody cares. The family devastated. When you see these smiling photos of her, Monica, what goes through your mind?
I have no idea. It's hard to even put into words.
What about it, Billy?
Well, she's a very happy person. And she's one type of person that, like, argue with someone or get into it because she was a small person. So, like we were saying in the beginning, our family is close and we don't leave without communicating with someone.
Now I'm looking at these pictures of her, Mr. and Miss Rivas, and she just reminds me so much of my little girl growing up. All the pictures, all the outfits, all the birthdays. There she is with her Easter basket. Everything that you hope for them, you dream for them, putting all your effort, your time, your money, your energy into them. Look at this cute little thing right here. That looks like that could have been a proof for a school photo. You know, Andy Kahn, when you look at these photos and you think that little girl grew into the high school grad with the beautiful smile and the gold tassel, and now Nobody seems to care what happened to her.
Yeah, like I said, I'm just absolutely shocked and I'm just stunned that local media, with the exception of a few stations, has actually on this story. There's been no national stories until you, Nancy, decided to focus on this. I mean, it's just a beautiful young lady. I would, you know, if I could go back in time, I'd love to see what happened that kind of made this story not a story until now. And I don't get it, but for at least from now, we are on it at Crime Stoppers now that I've been brought into this. And we're asking the public to step up to the plate because guess what? Somebody in the public knows what happened. And the public is our best eyes and ears out there. So do the right thing. Get in touch with Crime Stoppers. All tips are anonymous and help give this family the answers that they so sorely lack right now.
Where is 20-year-old Shapamla Buckner? Family and friends are desperate for answers as the search continues for the young Texan woman.
What happened to Shapamla Buckner? Let's take a look at the facts as we know them from that night.
It's late Tuesday night when a neighbor of Shapamla's hears what sounds like an altercation next door. Shapamla should have been home alone that night, so she sends Shapamla a text to see if she's all right. Shapamla responds that she isn't okay and she needs help. The neighbor asks if she should call the police, and Shapamla says yes, but authorities do not make contact with Shapamla that night.
Okay, I don't understand what that means. Authorities do not make contact with Pamela that night. What does that mean, Sydney Summer? Did they not go? Did they go and just go, oh, nobody's there. Let's go get some coffee. What happened?
Nancy, according to Shapamela's family, they can confirm with you on this. The cops did respond to the apartment after being called. They knocked on the door. No one answered, and it was left at that. And that's when Shapamla's aunt also came by the apartment to check on her.
Okay, speaking of the aunt, listen.
Shapamla's aunt also gets a call from Shapamla claiming she's being attacked in her own home. Shapamla's aunt rushes to the apartment to check on her, but someone else answers the door and refuses to let her inside, saying Shapamla isn't there. Shapamla doesn't answer any more texts or calls that night.
Do you know about the Forest Point apartment complex? It's on North Borough Drive near Forest Edge Drive. Forest Point Apartments. And I guarantee you, Brian Fitzgibbons, USPA Nationwide Security, look at this. If they have manicured front greenery, landscaped yards. Look at those trees to the left. That didn't just happen. Okay. Trees don't grow in a straight line. Look at all those pansies right there. Look at the gate. That's what I'm leading up to. If you've got a gate that is mechanized, you see that sign on the gate? They've got security cams. What about it, Brian?
Yeah, that's a big question that we have, right? Is, hey, we know that there was a disturbance in the apartment. We know what time that took place because that's forever etched in the digital data of the cell phone messages exchanged. And it's a big question to me is why has this not been talked about? We would have seen her leave the apartment on some kind of surveillance, some kind of ring cam. And for a place that is that nice, to your point, we have to assume that they have some sort of surveillance system.
What about it to Monica and Billy Rivas, family of Pamela's joining us tonight? Was there a security guard behind all those flowers? Was there a little gatehouse? Was there surveillance video of people coming in and out of the apartment complex? Do you know?
No, we don't know. And we're not sure what the police investigation, what do they have? We don't get any information from them.
Have you reached out to police? Have you tried to talk to them?
Several times. Some calls were never returned. And we were just wondering, you know.
What happened?
Well, we tried to get in contact with some of the investigators that were assigned at that time. And there was no return phone calls.
To Monica and Billy Rivas. Ms. Rivas, it's my understanding that there are some security cameras at Forest Point Apartments.
Yes.
Such as where?
Front office, possibly mailboxes. And that's about it.
Brian Fitzgibbons, wouldn't that be your first stop? Even as we're learning tonight, they say there were not security cams directly near her apartment. But don't you think whoever took her left in a car? The car had to go out the front or the back entrance, and that is where we believe there were security cams?
Absolutely, Nancy. And there's also, as police begin investigations like this, we would have hoped that they'd check surrounding businesses that have security cameras as well to follow some of that vehicle traffic, where the next stop was, where their routes were. It's concerning that it seems like that maybe has not been done.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. To Matthew Mangino joining me, veteran trial lawyer, former district attorney, author of The Executioner's Toll. Matthew, you and I covered the Alex and Murdoch double murder trial and the murders of wife Maggie and son Paul. After that murder, when he was still walking free before he was arrested, he then suffered a gunshot wound to the head, which turned out to need nothing but a Band-Aid. He claimed he was attacked on the side of the road, ostensibly by the real killers who wanted to silence him. As it turned out, he orchestrated the whole thing. But it was in a very rural area. And we were told at Crime Stories, of course there was no surveillance video. And I came up with the idea, well, what about when you turn onto that rural road in the middle of nowhere? Guess what? There was a Baptist church right there at the turn with surveillance video. So what Fitzgibbons just said is really smart. There may not have been a camera directly pointed at Pamela Buckner's apartment that she shared with her fiancé, who has an airtight alibi. But what about the business across the street, or the Crystal down the street, or the McDonald's? They have surveillance videos, right? So where's all that video?
Well, right, Nancy. And my concern here is a lack of urgency. So the police were called. They were told about a potential altercation. They come. Nobody answers the door. It's later determined that in her apartment, she's left all her belongings. I mean, this should put up huge red flags. And then there should be some urgency. Where did she go? When did she leave? And we also know that somebody answered her door when her aunt went there. Well, who was that person? Where does that investigation lead? So my biggest concern here is there was a lot of red flags, but there was no urgency. And that's what the problem is.
Houston PD and Texas Equisearch scour the area for Pamela Buckner, believing she may have left her apartment on foot, but the searches turn up no further clues to her whereabouts. Police interview Pamela's neighbor and aunt about what happened that night, then speak with several more possible witnesses. Pamela's boyfriend is confirmed to have been on base that night, nowhere near their Houston apartment. Mystery swirls around the strange disappearance of young Texan woman Pamela Buckner, last seen at her apartment following an intense argument reported by neighbors.
Is that true, Sydney Sumner? Is it true when police arrived, there was somebody in the apartment?
Nancy, when police arrived, they knocked, trying to perform a welfare check, responding to this call about the potential altercation. Nobody answered the door. Later, Pamela's aunt also went to the apartment to check on Pamela after getting concerning texts and a call from her. And that's when somebody answered the door and told Pamela's aunt that Pamela wasn't there. She isn't there. She isn't home, and wouldn't let her inside the apartment.
How secure is Forest Point Apartments there in Houston? According to them, there is gated access, which means somebody had to have access to get in and out, and perimeter fencing. So what? She climbed over a fence? That did not happen. According to other reports, there are actually police officers that patrol three different properties. What happened to Pamela? You know, I'm very curious about what we're hearing regarding an aunt to Monica and Billy Rivas joining us, family of Pamela's. Who is the aunt that went over Mr. Rivas that knocked on the door and someone actually answered the door?
That's my sister. And from what I understand, she wasn't let in. I guess whoever she talked to just talked to her out on the porch. And
well, who was it?
I'm not sure of the person. It was.
Was it a woman or a man?
Well, but I was saying it was a guy.
I wonder if she could identify him in a lineup. Guys, this is what we're learning tonight. Listen.
Houston PD officers do admit that foul play is suspected, but they remain extremely tight-lipped about the investigation, releasing no more details. Police have not named any suspects or persons of interest in the case.
The lack of progress and transparency in Shapamala's case has her family frustrated. Based on Shapamala's last alarming conversations, the family feels they know who is responsible for her disappearance. They claim police have interviewed several people they believe were at the apartment that night, but they were released. No charges have been filed.
We're suffering, and then they're just walking around freely with not a care in the world. You know, like they, it's nothing to them.
You were just hearing Monica when she was speaking to our friends at Fox 26. Monica, do you believe police know who's responsible for Pamela's disappearance?
Absolutely.
And they will not share that with you?
They told you.
They won't.
I don't get it, Andy Kahn, Director of Victim Services and Advocacy at Crime Stoppers of Houston. Why not share it with the family? They're going through H-E-double-L.
You know, Nancy, I don't know what's been shared, what's not been shared, but let me tell you what we're going to do at Crime Stoppers. We're going to pick up this case. I'm going to ask the family to get in touch with me. We have a whole new police administration right now. So we're going to go ahead and set up a meeting, and we're going to get this case back on the map and try to get this family some answers that they truly deserve. Because right now, grief is intensified when justice is lacking. And sadly, right now, justice is lacking for Pam and her family. But we're on board. We're going to get this case back where it belongs.
Guys, it's not the first time that seemingly everybody knew what happened, yet nothing is done. Do I have to say Stacy Peterson?
I guess I'm a big story, but it's really a waste of all your time.
His story is preposterous, that she ran off with another man. She didn't take her car. She didn't come back and talk to her kids. She's never called her family.
That's from our friend, Dr. Phil. And remember, former police officer Drew Peterson has been convicted in the murder of his other wife, wife number three, Kathleen Savio, found drowned in a bone-dry bathtub. Seemingly everyone believes, which is, of course, won't stand up in a court of law, that Drew Peterson killed fourth wife Stacy. Yet her body has never been found and nothing has been done to pursue the case. Okay, what about Crystal Rogers?
So, Brooks, you go to bed and she's still playing games on her phone. The next morning around 8 o'clock, you notice that she's missing. Did you report her missing?
No, ma'am.
Why?
That is a great question and one that I definitely want to hit the public and the media. I was not in the least little bit alarmed in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, he's been charged in her death and disappearance now. That was from our friends at HLN. Crystal Rogers, Stacy Peterson. Is this a case out to Brian Fitzgibbons where apparently everybody has a very strong theory about what happened to Shapamala, but yet nothing's being done about it?
Exactly. And that's why what Andy and his organization at Crime Stoppers is doing is so important. People know, someone knows, people talk, and the time is to pick up the phone and call Crime Stoppers. The time is now, okay, to bring this family the answers that they are longing for and to bring justice to whoever was responsible for Pam's disappearance.
And the family makes a really good point. Listen.
Know in their hearts that she didn't just up and leave without a word.
At that time, 20 years old, no money or whatever to, even if she was gone for a while, she would have to eventually contact someone for some type of support.
From our friends at Fox 26, what did you mean by that, Mr. Rivas? At just 20 years old, with no money, where's she going to go? She had never left before. She had always stayed in touch with her whole family. What did you mean by that?
I'm sure she had needing something to eat. Any kind of needs. People just don't leave. And if you're not working or something at that time or whatever, you have to call somebody, one of the family members, to pick you up or come and give you some support.
We know for a fact something, what went on and what happened. And we have the text messages and everything that she was, you know, speaking to the neighbor about what was happening. And we've seen it from live from what she was saying.
From our friends, Fox 26.
The search continues for 20-year-old Texan woman Shapamela Buckner, last seen at her apartment. Shapamela Buckner is African-American, 4'11", with black hair and brown eyes. At the time of her disappearance, Shapamela weighed 100 pounds and wore her hair straightened. She has pierced ears and glasses. If you have any information on Shapamela Latricia Buckner, now missing 8 years, please call Houston PD at 832-394-1840.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
It's not the first time someone vanishes from their apartment, a beautiful young woman, seemingly without a trace. Very reminiscent of Jennifer Kessy.
Jennifer Kessy usually calls her boyfriend Rob on her way to work between 7:30 and 8 a.m. When he doesn't get the call, he remembers Jennifer told him last night on the phone she had a meeting this morning, so he calls and leaves a message. When Jennifer doesn't show up for work and calls are unanswered, co-workers are concerned. It isn't like Jennifer to be a no-call, no-show. Drew and Joyce Kessy drive from Tampa to Orlando. In the condo, Jennifer's parents find a damp towel, and work clothes are laid out like she got up and got ready for work. The Kessys alert police, family, and friends that Jennifer is missing. 2 days into the search, Jennifer's car is found at an apartment complex 1.2 miles away from her condo. Surveillance cameras record a person other than Jennifer parking her car and walking away. The image from the camera isn't clear enough to identify the individual.
You know, Sydney Sumner, just like Jennifer Kessy, when the family went into her condo, they could tell she was getting ready for work, to go to work that morning. She was there the night before. Her work clothes were all laid out on the bed, you know, trying different outfits with the shoes to go with them. The shower stall was actually still damp. The towels were still damp when they got there. But no Jennifer. In this case, isn't it true, Sydney, that Shapamela's belongings were still in the apartment?
That is correct, Nancy. All of her items that she would have taken with her had she left were still inside. Her phone, her purse, her ID, her wallet, her keys, they were all left in the apartment. And that's not something Shapamela would leave behind. I mean, she wouldn't have left willingly if her keys were still inside. How do you even lock the door behind you? This indicates that Shapamela was not intending to leave the apartment that night.
To Monica and Billy Rivas joining us, had she ever disappeared before? I mean, she's a recent high school grad. She hasn't even lived long enough to, quote, disappear very often. But wasn't she in very close contact with all of her family? Wasn't that her routine?
Yes. At least she would go nowhere without her phone to call one of us if she needed help.
This goes against everything we know about routine evidence of routine. She would never leave without her phone, number one. And number two, like any recent high school grad, they're not getting disattached from their phone, but her phone was left behind. Her purse, her keys, everything. And also her routine of contacting family multiple times every day, even if just to say hello. She didn't. She immediately stopped, dropped off the map. There's been no use of her bank or credit cards, nothing like that. She's definitely met with foul play. What about it, Brian Fitzgibbons?
When we see major deviations from somebody's daily routine, that's certainly something that's going to lead an investigation. Aside from the obvious that we've mentioned a couple times, that she left her cell phone, her keys, her wallet, and personal items behind, when we see a break in a communication pattern, that's significantly concerning for the investigation.
I understand that Texas Equisearch has been involved in the case. What about it, Sydney?
Shortly after Shapamla disappeared, Texas Equisearch spent a short time investigating the case, searching for Shapamla around the area of her apartment, but it's unclear how involved Equisearch still is to this day.
To Monica and Billy Rivas, Texas Equisearch joining in the search, they're volunteers, but what have the police been doing to try to find Shapamla?
The last that we were told was that they was going to go back over the case with the fine tooth comb with more, like the more updated evidence that they did have, but they never did reach back out to us after that.
Altercation, then all of a sudden a person go missing. You don't want to jump to no conclusion to say something bad has happened. You just hope.
From our friends, Fox 26.
Keys, purse, debit card, everything was left at the house. Shapamla Buckner's family says the missing Texan woman didn't just up and leave on her own. Where is Shapamla Buckner?
Everything's still there, but no Shapamla. To Monica and Billy Rivas' family joining us tonight, have you been back to her apartment?
Yes.
What did you observe?
Everything's still there as if they still live there.
You know, Monica Rivas, Billy Rivas, I remember a missing teacher, and I went with her mother into her home, Tara Grinstead, and her little home was just picture perfect. It looked like it came out of a home decor catalog. You know, she had it so cute. And everything was in place, except she was missing. It's like time froze. And the most important thing, Tara was gone. Now, that was Tara Grinstead's home. But in Shapamla's apartment, did you see signs of a struggle?
In her room, it was clothes everywhere. The bathroom was like shower curtains on the floor. It was just stuff all everywhere.
You know, I don't get it, Brian Fitzgibbons. There's clearly been a struggle. Somebody answered the door. What is the problem? That person has got to be, at the very least, a POI, person of interest, if not a suspect.
Of course. And we know that the disturbance was big enough that the neighbor contacted Shapamla and then called the police, right? So if this person or persons have remained squatting in the apartment, you know, I'd like to know where they've been for the next 8 years and what's happened. You know, they're absolutely persons of interest in my mind.
Listen,
we're suffering and then they're just walking around freely with not a care in the world. You know, like they, it's nothing to them.
From our fans at Fox 26, to Dr. Angela Arnold, renowned psychiatrist in the Atlanta jurisdiction. Dr. Angela, we've seen this before. The family is suffering while the presumed perpetrator is just walking free with not a care in the world, just like the family just said.
Well, and you know, Nancy, the family appears so sad today because I know that on the show we are all getting the feeling that it's like their hands are tied. No one's communicating with them. If you hadn't have brought this to anyone's attention, Nancy, it would just be a cold case forever. And there's so many holes in this story. I can't imagine how they're getting through this, and I can't believe the lack of concern that has been shown by this police department.
We need them to just go into detail and tell everything that happened and what was the end result. Just to be honest, just to come and talk to us and tell us.
From Fox 26, I mean, I'm curious, to Billy Rivas, this is Shapamla's uncle, how does that make you feel? To think someone took her, possibly killed her, and they're walking free, and you cannot get straight answers from the Houston Police Department. What's happening? Do you think they know information they can't tell you that would somehow compromise the investigation? I want to hear your feelings.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. If they have information, and because the case is still open, they won't share it with us. From that point, that's all we can go with, is that it's ongoing, the case, and they don't want to put out too much information.
Is that your thought, Monica?
Well, we had a meeting with them again with HPD. And from there, they have everything they need to know. They showed it to us, and they just haven't did anything.
And what are your thoughts on that?
They need to do their job, because they already know. They basically pretty much showed me and told me everything, and I showed them a lot of information. And they basically had mugshots of so many people that are involved, and they know.
But yet nothing is happening.
Nothing.
Did they explain why they're not doing anything?
We haven't spoke with them again. Every time I email them or contact them, call them. I even had the investigator's cell number. They stopped responding.
If you know or think you know anything about the disappearance of this recent high school grad, Pamela Buckner, please call Houston PD. 832-394-1840. Tonight, we announce a $5,000 reward for information leading to cracking this case at Houston Crime Stoppers, 713-222-8477. Repeat, 713-222-8477. Please help us solve the case for Shapamala's family. We remember an American hero, Correctional Sergeant Andrew Fott, Illinois Department of Corrections, passed away in the line of duty. He served 6 years with LE and survived by parents Linda and Eric, Timothy and Gina, and siblings Ashley, Patrick, Deborah, Cassidy, Katie, Aaron, and Savannah. American hero, Correctional Sergeant Andrew Fott. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.